Welcome to Radio C on Youth Express, recorded live from the Saturday Light Brigade studios. This is Gabby Moran, and I'm a senior here at Oakland Catholic. Joining me today are seniors Mary Cumston and Caroline Albacetti. Today, we will hear from U.S. Olympian and OC alumna Amanda Polk on her return to her alma mater, and then we will learn more about the evolution of the college admissions atmosphere from the perspectives of OC's new college counselor, Miss Long, and through an interview with Anish Rahman from Raise Me, an online site that offers micro-scholarships to high schoolers. But first, we will catch up with Mary and Caroline on their summers.
Hello, everybody. So this summer, I went to pre-college at Carnegie Mellon University. I had the opportunity to take two college-level classes, which I then earned credit for. So those classes were calculus, which was a real character builder, I think, for me. It was really fast-paced, and of course, calculus is a difficult subject in itself. It took a lot of work and time, but it was totally worthwhile, and, you know, it's helping me in calculus I'm taking here at Oakland Catholic. So also, in addition to that, I took the class Design Concepts, which was a basic introduction to industrial and informational design. We started out, each week was a different module of a different kind of design. Our first week, we started out with technical sketching, and then second week, we moved into informational design, which was more based around font type, typeface. We were learning how to design posters and lay out websites and stuff so that they would be the most effective in communicating information. And so that was extremely interesting, and I've been applying that to a lot of my papers at Oakland Catholic. I think it's really fun to play around with fonts and colors. So that was a really great class to have. We also did a lot of 3D modeling using foam core. So it's basically a sheet of foam with two pieces of paper, and then you have to cut it with a knife. So I got to design a few buildings, and then our final project was to design a security camera. So that was extremely interesting. We learned the basics of industrial design, and we even got to play around with it in our own lives.
That's really interesting, Mary. So after an enlightening summer, do you have a new favorite font?
Yeah, okay, so I prefer the font Baskerville Old Face. It's not Times New Roman, it's a little bit thinner. It's a little bit more intricate, I think.
So, Caroline, on to you. So can you tell us a little bit about your experience in Guatemala this summer?
Yeah, sure. Like Gabby said, I visited Patzún, Guatemala this summer with Oakland Catholic's Guatemala Club on our annual mission trip. We go down to the San Bernardino Orphanage and School, and we stay with the orphans and help out with them in the afternoons, and then go in the mornings and go to the schools. I was in a kindergarten class with Kat Daigle. That was really fun. They were very energetic, I have to say. And I grew up in a bilingual household, so I do speak Spanish, and that was very helpful down there because in Guatemala they only speak Spanish and a little bit of a native dialect. And then helping with the orphanage was a great experience because I am a privileged person, and I think most of us here at OC are. So going down there and seeing the sort of poverty they live in, it was an experience that I'm very happy I got to have. We also went to Guatemala City and Atitlan, which were like marketplaces. We got to go souvenir shopping, and we got to appreciate some of their native art. And one thing with the souvenir shopping is that they do like a bartering system. They'll say 70 quetzales, and we have to say 50 or 40 quetzales and keep bargaining from there, which I'd never done before, so that was a little stressful for me. But it was a great experience, and I had a lot of fun there. Gabby, I know you also traveled this summer, so where did you go?
I spent a month traveling through Germany, and there were short stops in Belgium, the Netherlands, and Austria. So that was an incredible experience, and I went into it with certain expectations of what I would get out of it. I was definitely looking for an experience that would not so much transform, but more so elevate my understanding of European Union politics. But I walked away from it with a greater understanding of who I am and understanding the world around me more than anything else. But I know that sounds like such a general thing, but so many small moments that test things. For example, on the flight back, my luggage did not accompany me. So I got home to Pittsburgh after 2 days of traveling. My luggage wasn't there, and I was completely okay with it. And I don't even think my parents recognized me. They were just so shocked that I wasn't in a complete state of panic. If I walked away with any one lesson, it was that there are certain things that you just don't have control over. And I think that that was a crucial lesson for me to learn at this point in life, especially as we're all preparing to leave for college. And truly, the best part of the trip were the people. Every single person on the trip contributed something that was crucial to the group. Everyone provided very different points of view, and as cliche as it may sound, I know that I definitely made friends for life there. And all of the people we met along the way were incredible. We spent one day at a Realschule in Berlin. That's one of, I believe, three types of German schools. And the class that we visited with was composed of students from all around the world. And we had so many incredible discussions with students whose families were migrants or refugees from Kurdistan, Syria, Colombia. The connections were just so organic. That was something that I don't think I would have experienced if I had stayed at home this past summer. There were definitely a lot of challenging moments on the trip, but it was completely worth it to walk away with new perspectives, new friendships, and an overall sense of feeling like I am prepared for the next chapter of things.
Did you go to Germany and the rest of Europe before or after Brexit happened?
I left for Germany 4 days after Brexit, so I was preparing for the trip. I kept thinking, oh my goodness, day by day, this program theme becomes increasingly relevant. Those were some of the best conversations, actually, that happened throughout the trip, hearing German perspectives of American politics and Brexit. One of the most interesting things that I learned, and I heard this from so many people, was that they don't understand why Obama can't have a third term, or not understanding why so many Americans would be opposed to a multi-party system. It was so interesting to sort of take off the American lens and see how Germans would back certain candidates based on the candidates' principles and policies as opposed to sticking with party lines. And that was something that was completely foreign to me. Something I wasn't expecting to walk away with at the end of the trip was a sense of the unknown. Because truthfully, I think we can predict a lot of the social ramifications of Brexit and economic ramifications, but there's still a lot left to be discovered.
Well, it sounds like you had a really great time. I think that's really neat that you got to go and that you got to experience the things you did.
I think I said Dankeschön at the grocery store a couple of days after I got back, but there are small things like that that remind me of how much I actually loved those moments that I may not have appreciated in the given moment. And I'm sure we all have experienced that this summer, you in Guatemala, Caroline, and you in your calc class. I'm sure that was fun.
Yes, a blast. I know that pre-college drew people from all over the world. So my one friend in particular, she was from Thailand, and I remember days where we would just sit there before calculus class, confused out of our minds, but we would talk about it, and we would work through problems together, and we would help each other understand it. In the end, you know, we exchanged contacts and everything. She would tell me a lot about Thailand, and she made a comment about how the water here is so expensive. Like, to buy a singular bottle of water is so much more expensive here than it is in Thailand because she can only drink bottled water there. Just that exposure to people from all over the world, it was really great, and I made a lot of friendships.
We actually have some alum from Oakland who went on the Guatemala mission trip when they were in Oakland, Claire Jacob and Gracie Daigle, who both went down to Guatemala this past summer. Claire helped establish an after-school program at the school we work at, the San Bernardino School, to help ADHD kids with their education so they can learn a little bit better and they have more time with teachers one-on-one, which really helps them. And Gracie, she's studying to be an engineer at Penn State, so she went down and she's trying to help get a bridge built over a river in Patsum.
Speaking of incredible OC alumnae, Mary has some details to share with us about one of the most exciting events of the school year thus far.
All right, so Oakland Catholic has truly had an amazing summer full of all the impressive accomplishments of students, faculty, and alumni. Many of you may have heard two Oakland Catholic alumni went to the Olympics this summer in Rio, taking home a number of medals.
We had the chance to interview Amanda Polk of the U.S. women's rowing team, who helped her team take home the gold. She shared some extremely interesting insights into what her journey was like and how achieving her goals shaped her as a person.
What tools do you think Oakland Catholic gave you to succeed?
I think Oakland Catholic gave me a really great foundation in all aspects, athletically, academically, and spiritually. And my path and my journey outside or from Oakland was just another step closer of improving on that base foundation and just continuing to step towards a larger and better self. But it was really just the sisterhood that I enjoyed the most, and I figured getting involved with as much as I could handle and enjoying the team and the community aspect of it was just going to make me a better person.
What were your thoughts finishing that first race? What did you think of rowing at that point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I thought, well, this will be a good way to stay fit. That was pretty much it. It's like, wow, this worked everything on my body. And so I guess this is a good tool for basketball. Yeah, very, I guess, closed-minded at first and just thinking that nothing would really come of the rowing other than just helping me with basketball. Mm-hmm. But slowly that evolved and it really got exciting because I got more into rowing and I got more passionate about rowing. And basketball was actually became the tool to help me stay in shape for rowing. The group of young ladies that I have been training with the last 4 years, each one of us had complete faith and complete trust in the other. And, you know, during the race, Caitlin, our coxswain, would make calls, say, you know, this is your 250. And it wasn't just all of a sudden I was going to put out more and everybody else could back off. It was a full boat effort and we're going to make this boat go faster. And we're going to do it for our teammate because we need her and we're going to thrive off of her energy output. So we're going to put it out too. And, you know, sitting behind a certain person and in front of a certain person for so long, you actually have a nonverbal communication in that you can kind of tell what their body language is saying about how they're feeling. It's a lot of fun to get to that level, especially when you almost don't have to say anything, but I like to whisper sweet nothings to them, you know. Just say, Lauren, get your blade in your water. Get it in. Get your blade in. She's like, I know, it's a bad day. I was like, I can see that. It's okay. But, you know, making light of some of it, too, and having fun, you know, that's also a part of the experience.
So do you think things are going to change now that the Olympics are over?
In terms of my life, I think they're going to change dramatically. The first being that I'm not working out very much at all. I'm definitely giving my body a break and it is enjoying it. Also, I am thrilled that I finally get the time to enjoy the win and the victory with my close family and friends that I haven't seen, you know, getting together, calling them up, say, hey, you want to have lunch? Like, I don't have to take my nap. I have energy to talk to you. And I get to spend time with my niece who is 17 months old. And really, I haven't seen her grow up outside of the box. We call it Ansi in the box because, you know, it's all about FaceTime or Skype. So that is something I'm really enjoying too, is actually getting to hold her and watch her grow and not just behind a screen.
Talking about like next steps and what you want to do, would you ever consider being on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh my gosh, I feel like that is a true dream come true. I'm so glad you asked that. I was a dancer when I was younger. My poor mother had to deal with a 5-year-old me wanting to do ballet, and no ballet schools would take a 5-year-old at that time. So she eventually found a ballet school, and I just took off. But I actually went on and continued dance, I guess, until high school when I started to get into sports a little bit more. But if you ask any of my teammates, they will say, you know, oh my gosh, Amanda, she dances when she's not on the erg, you know, and that's part of just having fun, you know, making sure that the girls are having fun because it's a very intense environment. And if you don't make it fun, then like, what's the point? I have reached my ultimate dream athletically. And what is my dream outside of winning the Olympic gold medal? And so that's something that I do have to take some time and assess, where is my life going to go now? Do I want to come back and try, you know, for 2020? Do I want to, you know, get married, which I am in November, and, you know, start a family? You know, these are all thoughts that are going through my head. So really, I guess it's just going to take some time to evaluate what my next step is from here.
So you just heard from Amanda Polk in an interview with Radio C and OC Eagle Eye.
It's really interesting how she talked about being part of a sisterhood at Oakland. I've definitely felt that, especially in all my extracurricular activities, even as part of the podcast here.
Totally. The sisterhood I feel at Oakland Catholic, it's really, really strong, and I have so many close friends, and they're so supportive.
Definitely comes down to support overall, and I think that within Oakland, we can see that the alumni do maintain that degree of support and that degree of connectedness. That also brings me to another point that I thought was interesting about our talk with her and her family. They are so proud to be from Pittsburgh, and she truly has stayed incredibly humble. And she, as George Rudolph mentioned in his speech, I guess, at the beginning of the welcome ceremony, she truly exemplifies everything that Oakland Catholic is about: service, spirituality, and scholarship.
It's nice to see an example of someone who from Oakland has gone on to be an example of that in such a great way. We try to exemplify it as students, but seeing it beyond ourselves and into college, past college, that's a really nice reminder of what we can do.
With those words of encouragement, we will transition on to an interview with just as much motivation and words of encouragement that Caroline conducted.
Yeah, so Amanda found her calling in rowing, but for many of us seniors here at Oakland Catholic, our futures are still uncertain, and college figures very heavily into those futures. This year, however, Oakland has hired a guiding hand to help us out with our college applications and potentially life-altering decisions we have to make. So we at the OC, with Radio OC, had the chance to interview OCHS's new college counselor, Miss Kate Long, and ask her a few questions about herself, how she views the college admissions process, and how she plans to help college-bound seniors with their searches. So without further ado, our interview.
If you could tell us a little bit about yourself, you're an alumna of Boston College, right?
So I did my master's at Boston College. So I went there and I got my master's in higher education administration. So that's a focus on all things higher ed, like student affairs, admissions, really all the different components that you might find at a college.
And you worked at college counseling for Shadyside Academy?
Yes, I did. Yep, I worked there for 2 years.
How's that compared to your experience here at Oakland so far?
They're two very different schools. You know, I loved my time at Shadyside, but I have to say I really just sort of found my place right away here. I find Oakland to be really warm and welcoming, and I'm loving the community feel. So it's a great fit for me.
Do you think it's better to push students, specifically OC students, to look for more academic colleges or to focus more on like their safety schools?
I think it's really important to have a comprehensive college list. Think of it in three categories. You have your reach schools. These are your I'm going to dream big schools. If I could get in here, I would love it. It would be, you know, the best thing in the world. And they're a reach really just in terms of maybe your GPA or your test scores. But I really believe in putting yourself out there and trying, because if you don't, you won't know what can happen. And then the next category would be your target schools. These are the schools that are going to sort of fall within your profile. They are often accepting students similar to you. And then what you call a safety school, I'm going to call a likely school, because, you know, there's nothing really safe in college admissions anymore. But we feel pretty confident you will be accepted to the college. I like to see a well-rounded list just to give you options. I think if the opportunity is there, it's always great if you can visit a college campus. There's just a lot that you can't learn from a website or an info session, because getting on a campus and talking with the students and faculty and admissions people and actually just seeing how you feel once you step foot on that campus, I think is really important to trust your intuition. That being said, getting to college campuses is not always easy. It's not feasible for a lot of people. It's expensive to go visit colleges. Yes. And it takes up a lot of time. In an ideal world, you would visit all of the colleges you're applying to, but in reality, most people are not. I know a lot of students wait until they see where they're accepted, and then they sort of narrow down to the schools that they really think they may go to and then visit. I'm sure there are many people out there who just enrolled themselves in a college, sight unseen, and done really well. I think if you're a really adaptable, flexible person, then that can work too.
What is the biggest difference you found between here and working at other schools?
Specifically pertaining to what Oakland students want from their college careers versus what other students Sure. you've talked to.
Well, I have to say, in general, the one big difference about this school that I love and have found so refreshing and great is I've never worked at a school with so much school spirit. I love that. One of my first days here was the school picnic, which I was pretty amazing, and I don't think I've ever heard so many loud cheers in my life. So that was really great. I really love how much everybody here rallies. I really like that a lot. In terms of the college process, I don't like to compare schools because every school is really different. I think that Oakland Catholic students are tending to look more regionally, really wanting to stay in Pittsburgh, Ohio, East Coast, which I think is not uncommon to this area. A lot of high school students and a lot of people who grew up in Pittsburgh really love it here. It's a really nice family-oriented place, so I think people want to stay close by and close to their families, which I don't see as a negative thing at all. And the other thing that I've noticed is that because Oakland Catholic is situated in a more urban environment in the Oakland part of Pittsburgh, a lot of students really are looking for an urban environment in a college. I think they're used to going to high school, walk outside, walk around, go to restaurants and coffee shops and things, sort of want that same vibe in a college. The one thing I would encourage students and parents to do, and I know this is a lot easier said than done, is to try to maintain some perspective in this process. It can be extremely overwhelming. Just remember that where you end up going to college does not determine who you'll be for the rest of your life. Sometimes it feels that way, but I truly believe that you can go to many different places and still do exactly what you want to do and have a great experience. And so try not to get too focused on one particular reach school, because if that doesn't work out, then you run the risk of feeling really disappointed. So just try to maintain some perspective that things are going to work out, even if they don't work out exactly the way you had hoped. For students to be understanding of their parents, that this is stressful for them and they want what's best for you, even if it seems like they always want to talk about college, that they really just are want the best for you. And for parents to understand that it's also very stressful for students, so maybe to be supportive of each other and not let the entire fall of senior year revolve around college conversations, and go out, do something fun, enjoy your friends and family, and try to enjoy what you can of your senior year, because it really does go so fast.
So you just heard from Ms. Kate Long, Mara Ward, and myself talking about the college admissions process. I always feel confident after talking to Ms. Long. She knows what she's doing, and she definitely inspires me to try and write all my essays.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, being undecided myself, her words are often very encouraging. She really does help me cope with my stress.
I'm a very ambitious person, so I really hope I'm going to be able to get into some of my reach and target schools. So, how are you guys doing in your college admissions process right now?
I applied to Pitt already, and so that's really great. They have rolling admissions. I'll probably find out in a few weeks. So my mom works at Pitt. We get really great financial benefits. And I'm thinking right now, because their engineering program is really great and they allow you to double major, I think that Pitt is a likely candidate for me. So once I find out about Pitt, that'll definitely give me some direction in where else to apply. But for right now, I know in terms of reach schools, I'm going to probably apply to CMU and maybe MIT. In terms of target schools, I'll probably apply to Drexel, Penn State, and of course Pitt is a target for me too.
For my own list, my top choice right now is definitely Georgetown, but I really like the urban environment. As Ms. Long pointed out, I am one of those OC students who wants to move to a big city, and I would like to go to New York, so I'm also applying to Columbia, Barnard, and Fordham. In terms of target schools, the farthest out school I'm applying to is McAllister, which is all the way out in Minnesota. So I hope I get a chance to visit it, because I think, like Ms. Long said again, that it is important to visit all the schools you're accepted to or applying to, so I know some idea of what the environment will be like. How about you, Gabby?
Well, as of now, I have applied to one of the schools on my list, and I'm working on getting all of those other applications in. I definitely have a strong idea of where I want to go, and like Mary said, I think that once I hear back from some of my target schools like Pitt, I'll be able to better determine maybe my likely schools.
School is really the big issue when we're trying to balance everything out. Do we want to spend more time on the college applications or more time doing homework? That's a difficult question, and I think for me at least, college sometimes takes precedence. And I'm okay with that because college will be my future for now, but I am ambitious and I like to do well in all my subjects. Whenever I see something less than a 90 on my report card, I'm a little sad with myself. Trying to balance school and extracurricular activities too, cannot imagine how Amanda Polk did it all.
To continue with our college discussion, Mary is going to tell us a little bit more about an interview that Aaron Sheedy conducted this summer with Pittsburgh Youth Media.
So college is on the horizon for Oakland Catholic juniors and seniors, which means that the scholarship hunt is on. So junior Aaron Sheedy was able to talk to Anish Rahman, vice president of growth at Raise Me, a website that allows over 150 colleges to offer micro scholarships, $1,000 here or $100 there, for achievements like straight A's or taking honors or AP classes. The goal of the site is to make the process of paying for college more transparent.
Yeah, so our founder, or our CEO, who's also a co-founder, Preston Silverman, came up with the idea. While he was teaching high school kids in India, he was seeing them get ready to go off into college, but seeing that they couldn't afford it. And when he came back to the States, he started talking to high school counselors, to students, to families, and he realized that the same issue persisted here, where kids were going through high school, but didn't really have any idea whether college was something that was a possibility for them. And so that's when it really hit him. Well, we've got all these scholarship dollars that are going out to students, and the goal is to help them figure out a pathway to college. But by the time students access those dollars, it's so late in their high school experience. And for a lot of low-income and first-generation students, it's simply far too late to impact their college ambitions or choices. What if instead of waiting until the end of high school, students were able to earn those scholarship dollars starting in ninth grade? And what if they earned it for individual achievement and progress so that they were able to both recognize college could be affordable while becoming a better student in high school? If you look at the statistics, college is essentially your ticket into the middle class. And if you're not able to figure out a pathway to college, and by college I mean community college, four-year college, vocational school, if you're not able to figure out a path to get to some level of higher education, it's really hard to come back from that later in life. And it's hard to live the American dream. It's hard to get that job and that house and build that life for your family that puts you off better than your parents. And so it's really important that we help everyone out there who wants to get to college figure out their path. And because of a lack of transparency, it's really hard for kids, especially first generation and low income kids, to do that.
So that concludes this episode of Radio C on Youth Express, recorded live from the Saturday Light Brigade studios. Special thanks to Mrs. Rinkus, our moderator, and the Youth Express team. We welcome your feedback and input. Please address comments to info@youthexpress.org. You're listening to Youth Express, all youth, all the time. For more of this podcast or others like it on demand, find us on SoundCloud or stay tuned to youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.